The first item on the agenda is a new matter related to IFRS 15, so agenda paper 2, and I'm handing over to Craig.
Thank you. And good morning, committee members. Agenda paper 2 is about the application of IFRS 15 by an entity incurring costs to fulfil a contract for which it is recognising revenue over time. The submission asks whether the entity recognises those costs as an asset or as an expense. The main facts of the submission are presented in paragraph 5 of our paper. We note that the costs are the cost of constructing a building that is transferred to the customer over time. Paragraphs 7 to 10 of our paper describe the requirements in IFRS 15. In our view, the entity recognises costs incurred that relate to past performance under the contract as expenses. Question 1 on page 4 of the paper asks whether the committee agrees with our analysis of the requirements in IFRS 15 as summarised in paragraphs 7 to 10 of our paper.
I have to say that I agree with the staff analysis and conclusion. I mean, if we follow the standard itself, we cannot but reach to the same conclusion as the staff proposed, but I still have a concern, have a few concerns. The first one I want to say is that the conclusion of the staff paper, I mean, the agenda decision, is different from that of the old standard, I mean, IAS 11. IAS 11 is requiring to apply the same percentage of completion to both the revenue and expenses if an entity is using the percentage completion method. But our agenda decision is totally different from that. Having said that, I have to point out that there could be some kind of inconsistency in the application of the percentage completion method between the input method and output method. If any entity is using input method, the same percentage of completion is going to be applied to both the revenue and expenses because the percentage of completion is computed based on the expense. So if any entity is applying percentage of completion method under the input method, same percentage is going to be applied to both the revenue and expense. But if we just follow this agenda decision, different percentage of completion is going to be applied to the revenue and expense because output method is determining the percentage, and the percentage applied only to the revenue, not to the expense. So, you know, I understand the step is following IFRS 15 strictly, but the conclusion could be a little bit unexpected. So that's what I want to say. And the last one I want to say is that maybe I have to rewrite my textbook. You know, I'm a professor and I'm writing a textbook, but my textbook, and as well as many other textbooks, are following IAS 11, so applying the same percentage to both the revenue and expenses. So if this is determined, decided, and published, there could be many rewritings of the textbooks. Actually, that is not my concern, but the others, not the concerns of the others. So anyhow, what I'm trying to say is that I'm not sure whether this change is the intention of the board, whether the board has paid enough attention to that. So my proposal is that instead of issuing the agenda decision at this moment, maybe we can refer this issue to the board and confirm the board intention. That's my proposal.
And just on your comment about new textbooks, I think we would expect new textbooks to have to be written when we issue new standards. But
yeah, unexpectedly, yes.
Bob.
I agree with the staff's analysis and the agenda decision that they come to. On the agenda decision just itself, and I guess I'm jumping ahead to question 2, but I was wondering whether it's worthwhile to mention that in this situation, the submitter was pointed to the entity using the output method, because that's really where the situation comes up. I guess Young Su's comments helped me, because I was kind of wondering why this was here, because I thought it was, yes, this is a difference from IS 11, but I thought it was pretty clear. in IFRS 15, and I was thinking, well, is this really about wanting an amendment to IFRS 15 as opposed to guidance? But maybe it's good to have this there just to make it absolutely clear.
Okay, thank you. Guy?
I fully agree with the way the analysis has been put forward in the paper and the agenda decision. It seems quite clear to me that the costs relate to past performance and not the creation of an asset. So I fully agree with that. On the issue of the measure of progress, which I think is not addressed in the agenda decision, which I personally think is fine, I think it's important to remember you have to pick a measure of progress that best reflects how control transfers over time. And in this fact pattern, it's perhaps an output method is maybe not the best measure of progress, and that is maybe something one might revisit in terms of their selection of the method of measuring progress. But that's, I think, beyond the scope of the agenda decision. I think it's the agenda decision is totally correct in my view from an IFRS 15 standpoint.
Thank you. Bruce?
Thanks. I too agree with the agenda decision in terms of the IFRS 15 analysis. So I don't have a problem with that. I know I've made a comment to the staff, and Craig, I apologize, I probably didn't get back to you guys on it, but I just found the agenda decision difficult to follow. What I meant by that was just I kind of had to, I mean, maybe it's just me and my simplistic mind, I had to read it 3 or 4 times to really kind of get to what we were saying in it, in terms of just the structure. And I know that the staff asked me how I'd better put it together, and to be honest with you, I haven't really come up with a better way of designing it. I don't know if it was just me in terms of kind of what the key thing is, the key question and the key output in terms of what we were really saying to people. And maybe some of the comments others have made about talking a bit about the methods, and that may help a little bit. But that was just my only comment on the way we'd structured it.
But you agree with the analysis. Goro?
Yes. Regarding the analysis and the conclusion, I agree with the staff. This may be a very naive question, but I'm just understand that this fact pattern in the submission, how can we measure the progress of this construction? You know, that if this is a 5-story high building, and the entity have already completed that second floor or something like that, it can be measured by the output method. But this particular fact pattern says that the basement, foundation and the wall, roof, etc., and all these are so different, and I just couldn't understand how that the output method can be applied in this case. I think that if this is measured by the input method, I think I can understand. But I just couldn't understand why this particular fact pattern that the submitter thinks that they can apply that the output method.
I mean, obviously, obviously, Goro, what you're raising is a piece of the facts that were sent to us that obviously weren't part of the question. So we haven't questioned or analysed, in a sense, what we were given in the facts. As I think Guy pointed out, it's very important, you know, paragraphs 39 through to 45 of IFRS 15 talk about what an entity needs to do in measuring progress towards complete satisfaction. And very importantly, I think, Guy, you highlighted that, you know, in paragraph 39, what's clear is the standard says, you know, what an entity's objective needs to be in measuring progress and in deciding which is the most appropriate method, input or output, that it needs to actually depict its performance in transferring control. So certainly an embedded part of the requirements is that an entity doesn't just it's not a free choice in a sense. They really need to think about the nature of their contract, the nature of, you know, the goods or services that are being delivered and determine which measure of progress actually most appropriately depicts its performance. As I say, in this case, the facts that we were given said that the entity, presumably on applying that, had decided that the output method was the most appropriate method, which I then think possibly, you know, has maybe led to the question.
Or maybe it could even be more neutral. If we wanted to add something, maybe the committee could just observe that an entity is required to choose the most appropriate method as opposed to opining on whether this was the appropriate choice.
Got to be slightly careful because it doesn't say, I don't think it says the you just choose a method that
the words are
just trying to find it there.
Reflects.
It's a method that depicts.
That depicts, yeah, we were very careful because we wanted to remain this sort of some degree of neutrality between output and input in the standard. So I just assume, I mean, we've not dug into it, but the company is concerned has found some way of measuring directly the value of the work done today relative to the total value of the work to be done under the contract borrow. But it wasn't sort of, that part of it wasn't central to the analysis of the question.
If people thought it was important, we could make the observations and use the correct words as opposed to my incorrect words. Andrew?
Like others, I agree with the staff analysis. I agree with the conclusion that's been reached and the tentative agenda decision. I was sitting here about 30 seconds ago thinking that you must be reading my mind because the point of whether it's an input or output method was something I thought that we might usefully add here because I think, as others have referred to, it isn't quite a free choice. It's a little softer than that, but it's not as soft as that. But it would be helpful, I think, to acknowledge that in some cases you need to use an input method, otherwise you'll get an answer that doesn't depict what you're transferring. In relation to some of the comments about the different profit margins that are for each part of this project, I wasn't terribly troubled by that. I thought that if the entity is sometimes acting as subcontractor and puts roofs in buildings and happens to make a very large profit margin, but then when it does the foundations for something else, it doesn't make a very big one, that would be something it might use in determining what the price of that particular component would be. So it didn't trouble me particularly, but it also made me think that in this case, there was a question of whether an input method would in fact be appropriate because of the very different profit margins at each stage.
Tony.
I also agree with the staff's conclusion. I think it's entirely consistent with the standard, and I've always thought in the context of IFRS 15, percentage of completion applies to revenue, and you're using a measure of progress to determine the recognition of revenue. The recognition of expenses or an asset is something else altogether. I don't think there's ever been any idea that the application of the method of recognizing progress or the recognition of cost was ever designed to give a consistent margin. I don't think that's the way the standard is built up. And a bit like Andrew, I think if management has decided that an output measure is an appropriate depiction of progress, then it is implicitly deciding that having an inconsistent margin also appropriately reflects the progress that has been made. So I'm completely comfortable with both the conclusion and with the agenda decision.
Bertrand?
I agree with the staff analysis and the staff conclusion, and I'm not disturbed by the words or the wording of the agenda decision. Unlike others, I don't know if it's some or several, but others have expressed previously, I'm not sure we should add anything to the words in the agenda decision. I mean, output, input method, it was not part of the question asked. So I think we do not have, as a committee, to provide any particular information in this regards. So it would be quite cautious on incorporating in the agenda decision anything else in addition to just the strict answer to the question asked to the committee.
Yeah. Reinhard?
I also agree with the staff analysis and agree with comments made by others. In particular, I would agree with Bertrand, too, that from the perspective of the attentive agenda decision, I would stay very true to the question that was asked and be careful about straying too far into other related subjects, which may raise other issues.
Okay. Jim?
I agree with the staff analysis and the conclusion, as it says, and also I share the concern raised by Yang Su and discussed among this group. And during my preparation of this meeting, our staff also have the same level of concerns. And I think the approach Su and Prina and Henry just mentioned, and Tony also kind of summarized, should be very helpful, since sometimes people will think about a project should have a persistent profit margin across the different reporting times, but it should not be the case. But just telling them not to think about the differences between the possibility of different methods, it's a fact. It should not be a problem. That should help the readers to understand. Otherwise, they could just think about why this is in for this expense is in, but it's not on the output method, so this mismatch. I think it should be addressed, but not giving them direct answer which method they should pick, just to tell them if these input methods and output methods are different, that should be the nature of the business. It should help.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. I also agree with staff's analysis, and I do share similar concerns to Yang Su. Even though I agree with staff's analysis and support the current wording of the tentative agenda decision, I would expect several comment letters against it. I am already informed the industry is applying a different view. So I'm looking forward to comment letters and to see what we're going to do after. But so far, I support the staff analysis and conclusions.
Okay, good. All right, so with that discussion, let's move on to the question two. So does the committee agree with the staff's recommendation not to add the matter to the standard setting agenda?
Yes, that's
13. Okay. All right, so I've heard a mixture of views with valid reasons in both camps in terms of whether or not we say a little bit about the approach taken to depict. So I'm going to ask two questions, so to vote for your preference. One, I'll ask for a show of hands on who would support the tentative agenda decision as proposed, so without any observation regarding the
measure of progress.
Thank you. And then I'll ask for a show of hands on the tentative agenda decision as drafted, but with an addition, which I think could be along the lines of trying to choose something as neutral as possible, something like the committee considered the question asked on the basis of the fact pattern provided. However, the committee noted that IFRS 15 requires an entity to
measure progress to depict
an entity's performance. Yeah. So not opining, but observing, which I think would be make the point, but in a neutralish way. So if I could get a show of hands for your first preference, and then we'll see how we go. See if that strategy works. So show of hands, firstly, for the tentative agenda decision on the basis that was drafted in the paper.
One, two, three.
Plus the addition.
Without the addition.
Without addition.
Three. One,
four,
two, three, four.
One, two, three,
three, four,
four,
five, six, seven.
Makes you. <huge.
laughs> Okay, and then a show of hands with the addition.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight.
We're happy to go with that.
Maybe let me explain why.
The tentative.
I prefer the first option.
Yeah,
but then I'm not against the second one. And above all, with the sentence you've proposed, I think it's rather neutral.
Yeah. I'll pay you later. Thank you for helping. All right, so we'll go with the draft with the addition of that neutral sentence, drafted more perfectly than my on-the-fly words. And obviously people will send us letters telling us whether or not they like that addition apart from anything else, and we can discuss that again the next opportunity. Thank you.
So, can I ask just a question about the paper as a whole?
Of course.
I just found it slightly unusual to get a paper that said the technical basis is for option A, whichever way around it goes, and there is no technical basis for the alternative. I sort of wondered what I was actually being asked. I don't know if that's a due process question or what it is, but it was odd to get a question that says, well, there's a basis for one answer, but there's not a basis for the other answer, or an explanation of what the problem with the correct answer was.
And I think that's a very good question to ask. It's something we've discussed ourselves internally, because typically when we get a question, there's a difference of opinion on how you would read the words, because that's what we're set up to discuss. So it is, I think, for us unusual to get a question where the submitter, even when asked in conversation, didn't have a basis for the alternative reading, which feels a little bit like we know this is what's required, but we don't really like the answer, so which I think is tending toward more asking for an amendment rather than a question of clarity of the words. I think we need to think internally about whether we need to be more clear about our submissions in terms of there being a basis for alternative readings of the words. So I think that's something we need to go away and think about. Because it's not necessarily, I think it's fine if there are, as Carl suggested, differences in reading out there that might be developing, then maybe it's a good reason. But I think we need to be careful that we don't get caught up in a process where there is only really one reading of the words and everybody agrees but they don't like the answer and they're using the committee to try and get us to move. That's not really what we're designed to deal with. So, thank you for the comment.
Okay, so